1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. Let's all stand, please. Bible says this, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation to our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you bless the preaching of your word tonight. Help us as Christians, Lord, to allow this matter to get into our being, Lord. Help it to dominate our thinking, dominate our living. And Lord, help us just to be better for you because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to go through just for a few moments here. I want to look at these scriptures we just read. Then we're going to get right into the message tonight. Seven reasons why we are the rapture generation. Seven reasons why we are the rapture generation. As we read through this passage, I noticed several interesting things that just kind of pop out at us. First of all, you see in verse 2, it says this, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now, throughout the scripture, when referring to the rapture, God likens his coming in the rapture as a thief in the night. Okay? And a lot of times, false doctrine is built upon the fact that people confuse and try to intermingle the rapture with the actual second coming of Christ. Two separate things, two different times, two different ways they're going to happen, okay? So as a Christian, anytime you see it saying as a thief in the night, it's specifically talking about the rapture. So that's what he's talking about here. And we know that's true because if you back up in the previous chapter, chapter 4, we have a perfect description of that. So the first thing he tells us here is that we know that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. Now what that's saying is it's going to come unaware. People aren't going to expect it. They're not going to know when it's going to happen. Okay, but jump down with me, if you will, to verse 4. Notice what he says here, "But ye brethren," okay, so we're specifically talking about the church here. We're talking about people who are saved. "But ye brethren are not in darkness." Now notice this next phrase, that day should overtake you as a thief. Now, if you just read that, you may think that the scripture's contradicting itself. But of course, we know the scripture never contradicts itself. Okay, what he's saying here is this. Look, Christians, it's going to come as a thief to the lost world, to the backslidden world. But if you are walking the way you should walk, because that's what it says. It says you're children of the light, children of the day. Notice what it says in verse 5. You're not of the night, nor of darkness. Now, there's a difference, obviously, between saved people and lost people, but I believe he's also talking here. There's a difference between a Christian who is serious about the Lord and others who are not serious about the Lord. You can be saved and walk in darkness. Okay? Now, just because you're not walking right doesn't mean you're not saved. Okay? But you can be saved and walk in darkness. So what he says here is this. Look, listen, pay attention. If you're walking the way you ought to walk, that day is not going to overtake you as a thief. Even though it's going to come as a thief, if you're walking the way you should walk, it's not going to overtake you as a thief. Very interesting here. Well, why not? Why is it not going to overtake us as a thief? Okay? And he tells us that as we keep reading. Okay? Number one, it says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." The reason it's not going to overtake a Christian as a thief is because, number one, you're sober. Now, that does not mean free of alcohol, okay? That's not what he's saying there. Sober means serious-minded. It means your mind's alert. Your mind's where it should be. And notice what it says here. And it says this, "And that ye walk in the light." Okay? Let me back up there, okay? Verse 8, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for as an helmet the hope of salvation." Okay, back up in verse 6, "But let us watch and be sober." The reason it's not going to overtake us as a thief, because we are watching and we're sober. We're watching. Well, what are we watching? What is it that we're supposed to be watching? Well, I'm going to tell you, that's what we're going to cover tonight. Okay? We're going to watch the things that Jesus said would be a precursor to his coming. Okay? And if we're watching, and if we're sober-minded, and we're walking in the light, that day is not going to overtake us as a thief. All right? So, let me give you tonight 7 reasons why I believe we are the rapture generation. These are things. Why can I make this proclamation? Okay? I'm not setting a date tonight. Okay? All right? I'm not doing that. I'm not part of that. Okay? I mean, surely anyone with common sense would realize that that is futile. Okay? It just doesn't work. Okay? There's been lots of books written, lots of books sold, and there's never been one that's been right yet, and there's not going to be one that's going to be right again. Okay? But even though we may not know the exact time, says here, Paul says through inspiration, that day should not overtake us as a thief. Okay? Now, he didn't say what time of the day or what part of the day, but he said that day. Okay? So there's things we need to be looking, we need to be sober, we need to be watching for. Okay? The signs in the world today all point to the end of the age of grace and to the imminent arrival of the rapture. We are quite literally in the very last moments of the opportunity that mankind has to find salvation through repentance of sin and faith in Christ. At this very moment, eternal life in heaven with Christ is a free gift. It's still available. The trumpet hasn't sounded. But very soon that's going to change. There's signs out in the world that are flooding us with warnings that the end of the grace is here. In fact, there are so many signs that it's becoming all but impossible to see the road on which we're traveling. They're numerous, they're everywhere. Every person on this planet has been impacted by these signs in one way or another. So we're going to take a look at a few of these tonight. All right? So number one, here we go. I got a lot of material to cover, so I'm going to talk fast. You listen fast. All right? Here we go. Number one sign that we are the rapture generation is this: the increase of scoffers. The increase of scoffers. 2 Peter chapter 3 says this: knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now, as we're going to see here, there's different types of scoffing. But let me say this: scoffing is increasing. Scoffing's hit a whole new level within the last year. Scoffing's hit a whole new level. I think Preacher may have mentioned this because I actually told him about this about a month or so ago. But right now, Hollywood has made 2 new movies that make the apocalypse a joke, totally blaspheming the Bible and end time prophecy. There's 2 new movies out. One of them's called This is the End, and another one is called Rapture Palooza. The later one, the Rapture Palooza, features a scene where Jesus is blown out of the sky as he returns in his second coming. I watched the trailer. I saw it. I heard about it. So I went to YouTube, watched the trailer, one of the most blasphemous things I've ever seen. What if there had been a movie about Muhammad being shot out of the sky? What do you think would have happened then? One of the movie critics states this: Satan, God, and Jesus are ultimately killed, leaving non-believers to live in peace. That's what they're saying about this. One review about the movie called This is the End says this: when the apocalypse literally sets the world on fire and the good people ascend to heaven while the not-so-good people are destroyed in gruesome fashion, one young star is stunned to learn that there really is an afterlife and a God after all that. Life on earth during the very end of days, listen to me, it's not going to be anything like portrayed in these Hollywood movies. In one of these movies, the rapture happens and millions are left to cope with plagues of trash-talking locusts, foul-mouthed crows, rains of blood, fiery rocks from the sky, all preparing them for the return of Jesus. And through this whole thing, they're mocking, they're laughing. It's unstinking believable. Okay? Listen to me. There's always been this stuff, but it is increasing. It's becoming more bold. A few days ago, I don't know if you caught this or not, but on Fox News, there was a small child praying to Obama and praising him for his greatness. There's another article that talks about where some people came out and said that the Virgin Mary should have been aborted. I'm sure you saw down in Texas, the pro-abortion chants, as they were trying to, people at the Texas legislature was trying to consider legislation to save unborn children. There were people there chanting, "God is dead, hail Satan." All because people are trying to keep, trying to pass laws for murdering children. Literally chanting, "God is dead, hail Satan." What's going on here? An increase in scoffing. Okay? Now, as Christians today, or when I say as Christians, as people who consider them saved, they may not scoff like the makers of these movies. But may I say this? Christians have similar attitudes. And while they may not necessarily be in-your-face offensive, the end result is similar. Y'all have heard of Rick Warren. Okay, his best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life. When that came out a few years ago, Warren in his book scoffed at the Lord's return, and he suggested that Jesus said his return was none of our business. If you happen to own a copy of that book, if you look on pages 285 through 286, you can see what I'm talking about. Then you can throw it in the fire to start your to get your fire started. But that's all that garbage is worth. But listen to me, none of our business. One third of the Bible is referring to prophecy. Now, when it comes to these end time things, end time prophecy in our churches today, there's usually two results. There's either ignorance or there's apathy. People will tell you it will. Here's what you hear in mainstream Christianity today. People will say, "Well, you know what? It's all going to play out as predicted. But in the meantime, enjoy life." Pastors tell their people that prophecy is divisive and controversial, that they're that it's really just kind of none of our business. Listen to me. You know what? Hey, it is our business, okay? And you know what this? This is just another manner of scoffing. Christians scoff at Bible prophecy by ignoring the warnings that are part of it. I mean, hey, here's their philosophy. After all, haven't you heard? All the previous warnings have been false alarms, so why should we pay attention to any of them now? Jesus will get here when he gets here. Settle down. What's there to get so excited about? You end time people are so negative. The sky's always falling for you people. Come on. Beasts coming out of the earth, plagues, famines, hell, evil men called the Antichrist. Can't we move on to some good news? The stock market's doing well. Don't talk to me about bad times. My 401k has never been better. And they put this stupid smiley face on their face and tell their congregations how God just wants them to be prosperous. Listen to me. That is a form of scoffing. You know what? Christians scoff with their apathy. They scoff with their unbelief. They scoff with their doubt, their skepticism, the boredom on the topic of prophecy. Okay, there's what here's the new phrase out there. There's prophecy fatigue. That's what they say. Prophecy fatigue. We've heard this story over and over. No, we aren't radicals like the producers of these films, but you know what? They're scoffing. Now listen to me, folks. That Jesus said that there will be an increase of scoffing. And let me say this, there is an increase in scoffing. Okay, there's not just, there's always been that, but now there's an increase of that. All right, what is that? That is a sign that the fact that we are the raptured generation, I believe that. Sign number two, number one, increase in scoffing. Number two, the great falling away. The great falling away. Let me read the verse to you. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says this. By the way, we're talking about Christians here. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, I understand that this is talking about the falling away leading to Antichrist. Okay, but it says this in 1 Timothy 4:1. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly. That word expressly means distinctly. It means he's putting his finger on a direct point here. That in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Notice here, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And guess what? That's happening. I'm not going to, by any means, you know, bring up certain situations, bring up people's names, but if you look across the whole of Christianity, there's been men of God within the last couple years who have fallen prey to this exact thing. I'm talking about men of God that have had prominent ministries, prominent things. What's happening here? Why are all these men of God, why are all these Christians falling away? Because it's a sign of the fact that we're the rapture generation. It seems everywhere you look, people are quitting on God. Why, you may ask? Because the verses we just read plainly give the answer. Instead of listening to the preaching of the Word of God and to the Holy Spirit's communication through the Bible, they're listening to other spirits. And that's exactly what the Scripture says. They're giving heed to seducing spirits. Oh, they're Spirit-filled, all right, but it's not with the Holy Spirit. Now listen, you know what? Hey, you don't have to be involved in, you don't have to be in a dark room with the crystal ball and a seance to be involved with spirits. You know what? Listen here. But being involved in spirits is nonetheless the same. Notice the progression we read in those verses. They begin to listen to seducing spirits. They begin to believe what they say. Then they begin to speak those lies until they've convinced themselves. And then guess what? Their conscience then becomes seared with the hot iron. That's what the Bible says. Their conscience is seared. And by the way, he's talking about Christians. He's talking about Christians. Not only does it not bother them to sin anymore, but they become very agnostic to those who haven't fallen away. Hey, if you're still walking the path, guess what? You're the enemy. Hey, Blessed Hope Baptist Church is a cult. The preacher just wants to control everybody. If you hear those things, if you hear Christians say those things, that ought to throw a red flag up at you and say, hey, you know what? Hey, they've fallen away. That's exactly what's happened. Hey, and you know what? That's why the book of Jude tells us that we should earnestly contend for the faith. We must earnestly contend. Hey, listen, folks, we need to earnestly contend for in our own personal lives. All right? 2 John tells us this, verses 1 through 8. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that, as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Hey, when you walk in something, guess what that means? That's a path of life, walking in it. It means daily progression. You're walking in it. That's the direction you're going. Why should we do that? He answers the question. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Notice here, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, that we may receive a full reward. That's what he says here. Okay, and you know what's going to happen? You're going to have people who fall away from the truth. And you know what's so dangerous about that? Because when you fall away from the truth, he says here that you, by not walking in the truth, you will not receive a full reward. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about the judgment seat of Christ when we stand there. You know what hurts me, I guess, the most is when I see somebody who has walked with the Lord so many years, and then all of a sudden, they completely turn away. What a shame. You know what? I mean, they're not going to receive full reward when they stand before at the judgment seat of Christ. So you know what? You know how we know we're the rapture generation? Because of the great falling away. Have you ever asked yourself, what is going on? What is wrong with people? Why are Christians who have claimed Christ for so many years turning their back on the Lord now? Because of the great falling away. That's why. It's a sign that we are the rapture generation. Number three, I'm moving quickly here. Sign number one, the rise of scoffers. Sign number two, the falling away. Sign number three, the rise of persecution. The rise of persecution. Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. Let me read a couple of verses here, explain the context of this, and then I'll explain to you this. Okay, it says that Jesus said this, specifically talking during the time of the tribulation. Okay, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. And by the way, he's talking here to his disciples. He's talking specifically to Israel here. And shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. But take heed to yourselves, in Mark 13:9, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And again in Luke 21:12, but before all these things, he's talking about the end, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogue, into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Now what he's talking about here, he's talking about the tribulation saints who are saved in the tribulation, what they're going to have to suffer because they've been saved during the tribulation time. That's the context of the verse there. Now, let's not get it out of context, okay? And we know that's true because listen to what he says in Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received their mark upon his forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So what we find is, during the tribulation time, there is going to be an increase of persecution during the tribulation time itself. Okay? I don't have time to get into all this tonight. Preacher will when he teaches through it in the book of Revelation. But there will be people saved during the tribulation. Okay? But they will pay with their lives. Okay? They say that the Bible clearly says the method of death during the tribulation for people who are saved, they're beheaded. Okay? Now, I think it's very interesting. Once again, I don't have time to chase all these rabbit trails. Okay? But I will say that it's very interesting that, and I know this is true, because not just because I saw it on the internet, okay? I actually talked to somebody a couple weeks ago who worked for the government, worked in top secret areas for the government. And I asked this guy, he was talking to us a little bit, and I started asking about some of these things, you know, we kind of all throw out there and all kind of hear, you know, about the government doing this and the government doing that. And I asked him about these FEMA camps. And I said, I've heard about FEMA camps. Tell me. He's like, I mean, is that legit? Are they really building these concentration camps in our country? He's like, everything you heard is absolutely correct. He's like, I can't really comment on all this, but let me say this. You have reason to fear. And this is a guy who worked for the government. Now, I didn't get into any specifics with him. I just asked him some questions. But in these FEMA camps, they say that there are guillotines in these FEMA camps. Now, that may be a little conspiracy theory, I don't know. But I'm just saying is, FEMA camps are real. They're in America, okay? And I'm not going to necessarily chase down that trail, but let me just say this. They say there's guillotines in those FEMA camps. What's the way people are going to die during the tribulation period? They're going to have their heads cut off. None of this surprises me. So the point I'm trying to make is this. We know there's going to be persecution against Christians in a heavy way during the tribulation period. But what's that have to do with us? Here's the $100,000 question I get all the time. What are Christians going to have to face before the tribulation? I don't necessarily know the answer to that. But I do know what Jesus said. Jesus did say this in John chapter 15, speaking to his disciples. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours also. But all these things they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Okay, the Bible does tell us that as Christians, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And you know what? I'm just telling you this. In today, 2013, persecution is on the rise of believers. It's on the rise. Christianity continues to spiral out of control toward extinction in the Middle East and the rest of the Muslim world. Churches, homes, businesses of Christians in Egypt have been stormed and burned. Egypt is home to one of the oldest Christian communities in the world and also have the largest Christian population in the Middle East, totaling 8 to 12 million people. The government of Cameroon has shut down 50 Pentecostal churches and has vowed to shut down an additional 50 churches. Listen, this is this week's news. Okay? Just check out what's going on in Egypt right now. Okay? I mean, if we kind of get our minds out of what's happening in Greene County and look around the world, you will understand there are some intense things happening around our world. Literally, this thing in Egypt is the boiling point. I mean, it's crazy what's happening. And I find it interesting that they're targeting Christians. They're targeting Christians. Christianity is fast becoming an endangered species in Nigeria, where over 100 Christians are murdered each month. Think about that. Jihad is emptying entire towns in Syria. Christian students in Eritrea have been beaten and imprisoned for refusing to renounce Christ. In India, 5 women were publicly beaten for sharing the gospel. Last week, I read an article where the Syrian rebels, the ones that our country Obama wants to support, hey, you know what? Let them kill themselves off. Okay, that may be harsh. They're militant rebels. Okay, they're Islamic rebels. They hate Christians. The rebels had last week raided Christian villages, went in beheading Christians. It made the mainstream news if you look outside some of the liberal sources. You know why? Because persecution of Christianity is on the rise. On August 2nd, we're talking about just a few weeks ago, three evangelists in Indonesia were sentenced to 3 years in prison for evangelizing Muslims. U.S. State Department spokesman issued a press release condemning the enemies of Islam who are responsible for terrorist attacks at the end of Ramadan. Did you hear that? The enemies of Islam? Okay, how come they're not talking about the enemies of Christianity? They won't talk about those things. Here's another article. Yet another whore, Christian man allegedly abducted and decapitated in Egypt. It's no secret that Christians living in Egypt are facing increased dangers. Magdi Hashbia, 60, was a Christian, which may have been the main reason he was reportedly kidnapped on Saturday from the town of Sheikh Swede. It wasn't until Thursday that his body was discovered. Habishi is said to have been decapitated and found inside of a cemetery. Officials told the Associated Press on the condition of this tragedy. Listen, it's happening around the world. In fact, if you start doing some research, you start doing some study. Remember when Pastor Ross used to talk about that magazine he got called Voice of the Martyrs? Okay, that's online. You can read that. Okay, from the Voice of the Martyrs source, they tell us that around the world each year there are 160,000 Christians martyred. Around the world each year. If you break that down, that's 450 a day. That's one in every 3 minutes. Around our world, 2013, persecution against Christians. It's on the rise, folks. It's on the rise. You say, well, wait a minute. That's around the world. Well, what about us? Well, let me tell you something. Persecution in America is on the rise. You know the three sources of persecution in America is number one, the government. Number two, Islam. Number three, homosexuals. The tolerant crowd. Oh, yeah, they're real tolerant, all right. You know, they're persecuting Christians. Persecution of Christians in the United States continues to grow in intensity. Ever since the June 26th pro-gay ruling by the United States Supreme Court, religious persecution of Christians within the United States has increased dramatically. One example would include, just this last week, people who provide services for weddings have been particularly targeted with horrific fines and jail times for refusing to give service to same-sex weddings. New Mexico, there was a photography company that refused to photograph a same-sex marriage wedding. And they took them to court, and they won. They've got to pay this homosexual couple up to almost $7,000 worth of damages, all because they refused to take pictures at their wedding. Listen, we're going to hear accounts of this more and more and more. Another example would include an airman who wrote an article entitled No Atheist in Foxholes and was severely reprimanded for his beliefs, while atheists demanded even more severe punishment. I'm sure you've heard about this recently about them in the military, trying to silence the chaplains in the military. Here's a quote. Today, here's what they're saying about this, okay? Today, we face incredibly listen to this terminology. Today, we face incredibly well-funded gangs of fundamentalist Christian monsters who terrorize their fellow Americans by forcing their weaponized and twisted version of Christianity upon their helpless subordinates in our nation's armed forces. That's what they're saying. Those words were recently written by a man named Mikey Weinstein, founder for Military Religious Freedom Foundation. In a column he wrote for the Huffington Post, Weinstein will be a consultant to the Pentagon to develop new policies on religious tolerance, including a policy for court-martialing military chaplains who share the Christian gospel during spiritual counseling of American troops. Weinstein decries what he calls the virulent religious oppression perpetrated by conservative Christians who he refers to as monstrosities and pitiable, unconstitutional carpetbaggers, comparing them to bigots in the Deep South during the Civil Rights era. And you know who his prime example for the number one of this is? Dr. James Dobson, the famous Christian founder of Focus on the Family. He is, quote, illustrating the extremist, militant nature of these virtually homophobic organizations. That's what they're saying about us. If they're saying that about Dobson, can you imagine what they'd say about us? You imagine what they'd say about preaching from this pulpit? And by the way, probably what they are going to say and will say as the days keep moving forward. Listen to me. It's happening. The rise of persecution across this land. All right, let's keep moving. All right, so sign number three that we're the rapture generation, the rise of persecution. Sign number four is this, nation rising against nation. Matthew 24, Jesus said this, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. If you pull the news sources, the headlines just from this week, you'll be amazed at what you read. Here's just a few of them. Russia recently held the biggest war games in decades, involving 160,000 troops. By the way, what's Ezekiel 38 and 39 about? It's about Russia coming down against Israel. Okay? Well over 4 million people have been displaced by the fighting in Syria as the civil war in that nation lingers on. Chemical weapons have been used in the conflict. The fighting in Syria is becoming global as more and more nations send weapons and troops to participate in the fighting. By the way, I believe it's in, I don't want to say the exact passage because it slipped my mind. I know it's in the Old Testament. I think it may be in Isaiah. It talks about God fighting against Damascus. By the way, Damascus is a Syrian city. Okay, what's all this happening here? Okay, nation rising against nation. Zimbabwe's government has signed an agreement to sell uranium to Iran. Japan, just within the last 2 weeks, unveiled its largest warship since World War II. Bitter enemies, India and Pakistan, both possess nuclear weapons and are now exchanging gunfire across their borders. We have just learned that over 400 advanced handheld surface-to-air missiles were stolen from Benghazi and have fallen to the hands of radical Islamists. Britain's airport, Heathrow, has been put on high terror alert after credible intelligence emerged that Al-Qaeda is plotting to bring down airliners flying out of London. The IDF, Israel Defense Force, reports that Hezbollah has a weapon cache of 60,000 rockets. All that are in the range of Israel. Israel is now facing an oncoming from Al-Qaeda on three Israeli borders, Golan, Lebanon, Sinai. Gaza has resumed firing rockets into Israel, and Israel has resumed airstrikes against the terrorists who fired them. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has declared that his goal is to have not a single Israeli in a future Palestine state. Okay, the new president, I have more things, but for sake of time, I'm not going to read them. But for the new president of Iran, who just replaced Ahmadinejad, he said this in his speech as he became new president, that Israel was like a cancer that needed to be cut away. Okay, you know, listen, folks, this is happening right now in our world today. In fact, this morning, Benjamin Netanyahu, when he gave his weekly address to the nation of Israel, he said that Israel will always have their and I don't forget the exact quote, but have their finger on the trigger, ready to do whatever's necessary to protect Israel. And that guy's not messing around. Okay, now what's happening here? Nation is rising against nation. Folks, these are some of these things, you know, a few years ago would be things we would hear about maybe once every couple months, every couple years. Hey, we're hearing them daily now. Daily. All right, what is it? It's all leading up to the end, to the rapture. All right? Sign number five, and I'm moving on real quick. Sign number five, how do we know we're the rapture generation? Is this, Antichrist preparedness. Antichrist preparedness. 2 Thessalonians tells us this, verse 3 and 4. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there shall come a falling away first. And notice here, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. We know coming on the world scene to lead us to lead this world into the tribulation period will be a man known as the Antichrist. And let me tell you, the things that are happening on earth today are all in preparation for when he gets on the scene. Now, in order to take over the world, the Antichrist is going to need to know as much as possible about every single individual. By the way, Antichrist is not indwelt by Satan until the middle of the tribulation. So those first 3.5 years, he is this global leader with massive amounts of people to help him. And you know what? He's going to need to know everything he can about people on this planet. You realize our government right now is currently building a mega database on not only all of the citizens, but of all the people of the world. You say, well, that's impossible. Listen to me. It's not impossible. Technology doubles, I believe it said, technology doubles every 2 years. It doubles. So where we were at 10 years ago, think about how far we've come since then. Okay? The National Security Agency, by the way, you've heard about this in the news, right? About how they've been spying on American citizens. And that when they voted in the legislature gave them, continued giving them powers to continue to do so. This just happened a few weeks ago. The NSA top secret program essentially makes available everything you've ever done on the internet. Browsing history, searches, contents of your emails, online chats, even your metadata is everything you type into the keyboard. They're building programs to know about. It's called X Key Score. It's the widest reaching system for developing intelligence from the internet. PowerPoint training materials obtained by The Guardian shows how analysts could use the system to mine sprawling agency databases consisting of a vast reservoir of data. At least, listen to this, 41 billion records were collected and stored in a single 30-day period in 2012. 40 billion records. According to the report, which also says X Key Score collects more than 20 terabytes of information daily. Now, you talked to Brother Klein about the size of a terabyte. It's huge, okay? 20 terabytes of information daily, including emails, chats, social media interactions, even browsing histories, all in real time. You know what's happening? The government is collecting information on the people of this country. I'm not being a conspiracy theorist here. I promise you I'm not. This is really happening. This is something else I asked that gentleman about the other day. And he told me this. He said, that's absolutely true. He said, the government, if you say it on a cell phone, they know what you say. Now, for years, everybody's just, oh, conspiracy, conspiracy. And I'm talking to a guy who's involved in that kind of stuff. Now, he did tell me, he's like, now what they do is they look for keywords like president, bomb, and things like that put together. And if none of that comes up, then they don't necessarily search you out. But if you say things like that, they know about it. Now, what's all this doing? This is preparing the world for the Antichrist is what this is doing. You understand that our government continues to conspire against its people. There's been over 2 billion rounds of ammunition out from our government that it's hoarding. You know, the IRS is now training with M16 full automatic assault rifles. The government has just bought 2,700 armored personnel carriers and thousands of bulletproof, like bulletproof little booths. Okay, why are they doing this? I don't know necessarily why they're doing this. Okay, I'm really not trying to sound like a conspiracy theorist here. I promise I'm not. Listen though, but I'm telling you, it's true. This stuff's documented. Okay, what's happening? All I'm saying is this. All this is happening to prep the world for the Antichrist. The idea of big government and freedoms that we've given up in order to be safe is all part of the satanic plan to prep this world when he comes. All right? And these are just a few examples. And but listen to me. If you don't believe what I'm saying, check for yourself. It's true. It's really happening. All right? So Antichrist preparedness. All right, number six, what's another sign that we're the rapture generation is this, the groanings of creation. The groanings of creation. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also, notice you're talking about creation, but the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And because the earth itself knows that one day it will be delivered, and if I had time to teach it, I would, but you look, you go see what's going to happen during the millennial kingdom. The sin curse is lifted from the earth. And because of that, listen to what he says in verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Creation is groaning to be delivered. Now, what am I talking about here? Once again, these are all real facts. Check them out for yourself. Okay? Freakish weather continues to be the new normal. This freakish weather is not being caused by global warming. In fact, they've debunked global warming. Okay? It's not even real. In fact, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration reports that the data for 2012 shows we are now experiencing a cooling trend. And a recent report by the Met Office showed the global warming actually ended 16 years ago.
Okay? The Arctic saw the shortest summers in recorded history. Okay, so this whole global warming is nothing but a farce. Okay, but you know what? Something's happening. You can't deny that something. You know what it is? Creation is groaning. South America is currently in a massive deep freeze as the death toll in China rises from their record heat waves. The lingering heat wave in Japan has left 19 dead and about 9,800 people in the hospital so far. You think about that. 10,000 people in a hospital because of the heat wave in Japan. Heavy rain in Pakistan has killed hundreds. Severe flooding continues in Southeast Asia, Myanmar, Thailand, and Vietnam. In the past month, we're talking about within the last month, real time here, more than 150,000 people have been displaced by flooding in Sudan, with more rain expected in the coming days. Meanwhile, Germany is experiencing a heat wave and hailstones the size of tennis balls. Rainfall in Iran has decreased by 58% as they continue to threaten to destroy Israel. There was 1,112 record cold temperatures recorded in the United States during a single week. The drought in New England has been the most extreme in history. Natural disasters misplaced 32.4 million people in 2012, with 2013 on track to be even worse. We're currently experiencing 34 major wildfires burning across 11 western states and staggering amounts of rainfall in 16 eastern states. Severe heat is being felt across the entire nation. Dormant volcanoes are coming back to life. The last time that I checked on this, there were 7 volcanoes that were showing new activity. 9 volcanoes with ongoing activity. A volcanic eruption in Indonesia just killed 6 scientists. Early this year, we had 4 volcanic eruptions in Russia within a range of just 100 miles of each other. Many other volcanoes are showing a growing increase of seismic activity. Earthquakes continue at an alarming rate, and it becomes so common that they are seldom even reported in the news. The last one was a severe damaging shallow magnitude 6.9 in New Zealand on August the 15th. Now get this, this is interesting here. Strange unidentified sounds coming from no apparent source or direction continue to be reported all over the world. By the way, you can see the video of this. You can listen to this for yourself. The sounds are described as heavy scraping, to groaning, to booms, or explosions, or to a continuous hum. A steady droning sound that creeps in slowly in the dark of night continues for many hours at a time has been reported in places as Taos, New Mexico, Bristol, England, Largis, Scotland. Loud booms have been reported in 25 regions of the United States. Unbelievable. What's happening? Unexplainable. They have no idea what's happening. Okay? You've heard about all the crazy sinkholes going on? Okay? Just with a couple weeks ago, there was a huge sinkhole that opened up and swallowed a hotel in Orlando, Florida. By the way, when we were on vacation back in June, we were staying in that exact area. I don't think it was a hotel we were staying in, but it was within a 5-mile radius. These sinkholes are opening them up everywhere. Who's ever heard of sinkholes opening up, swallowing buildings? What's going on? The earth is groaning. Incidents of massive animal die-offs are averaging more than 2 per day. Animal experts are trying to figure out what may have killed a dozen blackbirds that fell from the sky in Winnipeg's north end this last Wednesday. Conservation officers have picked up more than 50 dead birds. In China, animal experts are trying to figure out what may have killed dozens of blackbirds that fell from the sky. More than 120 dead dolphins discovered since June from New Jersey to Virginia. Fish and animals are washing up on shore dead. Hundreds of fish die in Toronto, Canada. Massive fish killed in the Netherlands. Mysterious oysters die off in France. And these are just a small little grouping of things that are happening. Why are the animals of our planet dying off? Hosea 4:3 says this. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beast of the field, with the fowls of the heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. What the Bible says. You know what's happening here, folks? Listen to me. The earth's groaning because it knows it's about ready to be delivered. That's why. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus told us there would be signs in the heavens of his second coming. This seems very logical since they will be visible to the entire world. Listen to this. I don't know if you've read anything about this or not. There have been a huge uptick in solar activity, especially in the southern hemisphere of the sun. Now this is amazing. NASA tells us that the sun will reverse its magnetic polarity within the next 3 months, and the effects will be felt beyond the orbit of Pluto, which is the furthest planet in the solar system. A high-speed solar wind is currently buffeting the Earth's magnetic field that is causing geomagnetic storms around the Earth poles. This was especially back here on August the 6th. You realize during the middle of July, there was a coronal mass ejection from the sun that was large enough to have wiped out the entire electric grid on the Earth, and it barely missed the orbit of the Earth. Barely missed it. The sun is literally, there's solar storms happening all the time. Now listen to me. What is happening here? Signs in the heaven, signs in the earth. Creation is groaning to be delivered. Just another sign that we are the rapture generation. And last of all, and this is the last one, number 7. What's the last sign? And by the way, these 7 that I'm listing aren't all of them. Okay, these are just the things that I have found that's happened within the last couple months. Okay? The last sign is this, the thank not mentality. The think not mentality. Jesus said this in Matthew 24:44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for such as an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Luke 12:40. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Let me just say this. For the most part, our world, and by the way, I expect it from lost people. I expect it. But you know what's sad is that the true church of Jesus Christ, this is the mentality, the think not mentality. You realize the average Christian out there, you start talking to them about these things, you know what, listen to me, they, for the most part, have no idea what you're even talking about. They have no idea. If they do know, they really don't care. You know why? Because Jesus said, in the hour you think not, so cometh the Son of Man, the think not mentality. So all this information I gave you tonight, how can we make this practical? How can this help us live tomorrow? Let me just give you 3 quick things. Number 1 is this. Know that you're saved. Okay? Know that you're saved. All right? Listen to me. Every single person ought to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are taken care of. Okay? You know why? Because God, thank the Lord, He's promised to get the church out of here before this horrible time happens. Okay? And He promises that. We're not appointed to wrath. Okay? And if you got some of those Pentecostals you may work with, or some of these other people you may work with, and they may try feeding you this line that the church is either going to go through half the tribulation or all the tribulation, they have no idea what they're talking about. People who say that do not know the scripture. They're taking scripture out of context. I'm telling you that's true. Okay? Because God has not appointed us to wrath. So number 1, know that you're saved. Number 2, do everything possible to make sure others around you are saved. Listen to me, folks. When Jesus said, the night's coming when no man can work, if that was true 2,000 years ago, it is for dead sure true in 2013. The night is almost here. I'm just telling you, it's almost here. That hand is about ready to tick midnight. The midnight cry is going out. The Father's going to send the Son. He's going to blow that trumpet, and I'm telling you, we're out of here. So listen to me. Do everything possible to make sure others are saved now. Don't wait. Do everything possible. Number 3 is this. Make every day count for the Lord. As a Christian, make every day count. I mean, listen to me. I know we've said this and we've preached this and we've heard it preached. You know, the Lord could come any day. But that is more true now than it was yesterday. Because these things are intensifying. They're continuing. Make every day count for the Lord. His coming will be, to me, it'll be bittersweet. I'm so looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to going to heaven, but the bitterness of having to face God for the life I've lived. Knowing we're going to stand and give an account to the Lord. That ought to motivate us, folks. The fact that people I know who aren't saved and who refuse to be saved. So it's bittersweet, but make every day count for the Lord. So 7 reasons why we are the rapture generation. Number 1, the increase of scoffing. Number 2, the falling away. Number 3, rise of persecution. Number 4, nation rising against nation. Number 5, Antichrist preparedness. Number 6, groaning of creation. Number 7, the thank not mentality. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the message tonight. Thank you for these truths in your word. Lord, what wonderful truths. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're going to come again and get us, Lord. So thankful we are for that. And Lord, help us to obey the scripture as it said, that that day would not overtake us as a thief. Why, Lord? Because we're sober and we're watching. Lord, so help us to live that kind of Christian life. I pray that you bless every single one of us here. Lord, help us all to be busy about seeing people saved. Lord, help us to all be busy about passing out tracts and Lord, witnessing to that neighbor or that lost loved one or maybe a coworker. Lord, help us, Lord, to be busy and keep this in the forefront of our mind. Help the church, we pray. Bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.